In Acts chapter 8, we have the story of what happens after Stephen, the faithful servant of the Lord, is stoned to death. And I'm taking the title for this message. I want to look at the first 8 verses of Acts chapter 8. I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. The word. Preaching the word. Not tradition, not ceremony, not custom. Preaching the word. You remember in chapter 5, they ceased not to teach and preach the word. Jesus Christ is the word of God. This scripture you're familiar with, you don't need to turn to it. In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1. And the Word, it's capital W, and the Word was with God, and that Word was God, and that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The written Word of God is God-given, God-inspired, but it tells us about the living Word. The living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip preached Christ unto them. You see that in verse 5? And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached the word. What did he preach? He preached Christ unto them. Down in verse 12, when they believed Philip, preaching a thing concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Over in verse 35 of this same chapter, you remember the story of Philip and the eunuch? Verse 35, and Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, Isaiah 53, and preached unto him the word. Jesus Christ is the word of God. The written word tells us about the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 20, we did a study through the book of John, the Gospel of John, 2 times. But remember in chapter 20, these things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you might have life on his name. These things were written, thank God they're written down. Where would we be without the written word? We'd be in big trouble. These things are written that you might believe the gospel. Even though they were scattered because of persecution over the gospel, God used the evil of their persecution, the enemies of the gospel, for the good of his people. Philip went down to this city of Samaria and preached Christ, and a number of people believed. God can make light to come out of darkness. Think of it. The Lord will use whatever means he desires to send out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be persecution. It may be prosperity. The Lord will use whatever he will to send out the gospel. Our Lord said this to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, risen, said to his apostles, and that goes to all his body, go and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preaching the gospel to preach the word. We cannot overdo this command where he said, go and preach. Go and preach. Go everywhere and preach. Paul said, I charge you to go and preach. Can't overdo that. Every time we meet together around this word. And we preach and teach line by line, word by word, verse by verse, book by book, chapter by chapter, all the word of God. You can't overdo that. I've never heard a believer complain. All you do is preach the word. That's so boring. Can't we have fun? Can't we have a Christmas play and dress up like shepherds and have a manger? And can't we do these things? Not here. Right here, the business is preaching the word. Preaching Christ. We don't play games here. The Lord has ordained this preaching of the gospel as a means to call out his people. You remember 1 Corinthians 1:21? It pleased God through preaching to call out his people. That's why we make much of the word. We read the word in the beginning. The first thing we do when we come together, what do? We read the word. We pray, we sing, and we preach the gospel. Preach the word. Now, we saw last week the brutal murder of a faithful gospel preacher named Stephen, and we learned at least three vital lessons about believers when they die. Those who die in faith die well. Stephen died well. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. Secondly, those who die in faith are immediately received by the Lord Jesus Christ. He cried out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he did. And Stephen fell asleep, and he's forever with the Lord. Thirdly, those who die in faith are given dying grace to depart this life in peace. He died in peace. So much so, he was so much at peace in his mind and his heart. He said about those who picked up a stone and stoned, "Lord, forgive them." Boy, that's at peace, isn't it? That's being at peace. "As much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men." These men just dashed out his brains, and yet he's praying for them. Boy, I desire that. I desire that. You remember what the Lord said as he died on Calvary's tree, being so brutally treated? "Father, forgive them." Boy, that prayer was answered. In Pentecost, 3,000 people. A few days later, 5,000 people. Then a multitude of sinners were saved because the Lord prayed for them. The Lord interceded for them. And then we were introduced to a young man by the name of Saul. You remember the last part of verse 58, Acts 7. They laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul of Tarsus. First time we've run into this man. Now we're going to see a lot about him. In chapter 9, he meets somebody special, Saul of Tarsus does, as he's on his road to persecute believers, not only in Jerusalem, but in Damascus. He's going way up north to Syria. And he met somebody special. And God put him in the dust. And God made him a new creature, made him the Apostle Paul. We know much about his background because we have it in the word of the Lord. He said in Philippians 3, "If any man, as the proud Pharisee, if any man whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more." Hebrew of Hebrews, I was born Pharisee, zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when he learned the gospel, when God taught him the gospel, he said, "All that is just garbage, that I might win Christ and be found in him." And then in Galatians 1, he talks about being a exceeding zealous of the tradition of the Father, persecuting the church even unto death. We also know later that the Lord raised this man up to be the great apostle. We'll see his marvelous conversion story in Acts chapter 9. But look at verse 1. Acts chapter 8 verse 1. Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, that is to the south, and Samaria, which is to the north of Jerusalem, except the apostles stayed there in Jerusalem. Now this is the Lord's purpose. Saul participated in this brutal murder, vicious murder of Stephen. He gave his full consent. He took pleasure and delighted in seeing another believer put to death. If you'll find Acts chapter 22, the Apostle Paul writes about it here in Acts chapter 22, verse 3. He said, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus," Saul of Tarsus, city in Cilicia, "yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you are all this day. I persecuted this way unto death." You see that verse 3? "Binding and delivering into prison both men and women. Boy, this man was so full of hate and evil, wretchedness. Look at chapter 9, Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest to get permission to persecute believers other places. Boy, this man, if anybody looking at this man, those believers there in Jerusalem, when they found out like Ananias did, when he heard about Saul's conversion, he said, I've heard about this guy. He's done much evil to the Lord's people. When anybody heard about the story of Saul of Tarsus and how God made him a new creature in Christ, they stood back and said, man, I don't believe that. They would look at that man and say, there's no hope for him. There's no way that God can ever do anything for that man. I tell you, if God can save Saul of Tarsus, that gives this sinner hope. If he can save that wicked man, he can save me, because I'm just as bad. I can say with him, I'm the chief of sinners. At that time, there was great persecution against the church, which we know is the Lord's body. Those believers were persecuted unto death. But the Lord said to Saul of Tarsus later in chapter 9, when you persecute believers, he said, you persecute me. Be careful what you say about another believer, because that believer is the Lord's body. Some historians have said that more than 2,000 people, 2,000 believers, were persecuted unto death at this time. Now remember, the church is well over 10,000 at this time. They were scattered to the north, to Samaria, to the south, Judea. We all know this took place by the determinate counsel and purpose of God. We call that the good and wise sovereign providence of God. Was that out of control? Was that persecution out of control? No, they were doing exactly what God determined before to be done. Preacher, I don't believe that, because I can't understand that. Well, I don't understand it either, but I certainly believe it, because God said it. God said it. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to God's purpose. How could this persecution be good? Well, it drove Philip down to the city of Samaria, and he preached the gospel, and many believed. Even the vile wickedness of ungodly men serves the greater purpose of God. That's just so. That's just so. I, the Lord, he says, let me get it for you. I didn't jot it down, but I've got this reference. Don't turn. You're familiar with this. He said, I form the light, I create darkness. I make peace, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. It's of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice this. Verse 2, and devout men, these believing men, they identified with Stephen in his death. They carried the body of Stephen and made great lamentation, and they buried him. That is, they went and found his body, covered probably with a pile of rocks. They threw all the rocks off his body, beaten, bruised, battered, and dead. And they took that body, washed it, clothed it in linen, and carried it and gave him a proper burial. And then it said they made great lamentation over him. They were brokenhearted. They were brokenhearted. They risked their lives by identifying with Stephen. They risked their lives and put their lives and livelihood in jeopardy by burying Stephen. They had courage enough in the midst of persecution, great persecution. They showed respect to the dead body of this faithful servant, and they gave him a decent burial. These dear believers were brokenhearted over their loss, and they did not hide their tears. They wept for one another. Now, notice he was buried. Now, I've had this question over the last 35 years I've been trying to preach the gospel. Is it proper or right? Should a believer have his body cremated? I've been asked that question I don't know how many times. No. No. Show me one time in the scripture where any believer had his body burned. Abraham was buried. They carried Joseph's bones out of Egypt all the way back to the land of Canaan. Did what? Buried his bones. We should follow the Lord's example and have our bodies buried. The only people who have their bodies cremated in the Word of God were pagans, not believers. That's just so. That's just the way it is. Look at verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing, dragging, viciously, cruelly, men and women, probably children as well, if they were believers, and committed them to death. He committed them to prison, but they were put in prison only awaiting to be stoned to death like Stephen. What a brutal man this man Saul of Tarsus is. And yet he did all this in a pious, self-righteous, judgmental spirit as a Pharisee. This self-righteous Pharisee hated the Lord Jesus Christ and hated those who believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, hate is what is born and is bred in this rotten nature, in this sinful nature. Love is of God. Hate is of this flesh. Flesh, a carnal mind, is enmity against God. Saul of Tarsus hated God, and he hated those who believed the Christ of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4. Now I'm going to get to the good part here. Just hang in there. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word, preaching the word. God can make light come out of darkness. He can make good come out of evil. Those who were hated for the gospel left Jerusalem to protect their lives, but they took with them, they probably didn't have time to pack the wagon, did they? They left in a hurry. They left town because of persecution. But you know what they took with them? The gospel in their heart, in their mind, in their soul. They took the gospel with them. And they went everywhere preaching, 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 preaching the word. The word. Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple in every house. You remember when they were beaten? The apostles had beaten and commanded never to teach or preach or mention the name of Jesus Christ again. And it said they went everywhere and they ceased not to teach and preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's work on this statement here for a minute. They went everywhere preaching, preaching, which is a declaration. A declaration, preaching the word. The word. You see that? Underscore that. The word. The word, the word. They preach the written word, which tells us of the living word. Now, put your fingers to use here and find Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's see about the word here. The word of God. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The word of God is quick and powerful. That means the written word, and that means the living word. We read earlier in the text, don't turn to this one, when this same man, Saul of Tarsus, later known as the Apostle Paul, sits on death row waiting to be executed for the gospel. He writes back to Timothy, he said, preach the word. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word, preach the word, preach Christ, preach the word. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, turn there. Our Lord said his word will not return unto him void. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I tell you why. The word of God, when it goes forth in the power of God the Holy Spirit to the heart of the elect of God, always gets the job done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, knowing, verse 4, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in the Holy Ghost, in the power, but also in power in the Holy Ghost, and much assurance. The word, the word, the word. Turn to chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the word of truth, the word of God, that effectually worketh in you that believe. There's that word. Our Lord said this in John 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Hearing what? The word. Hearing the Lord Jesus Christ revealed in the written word of God. Now, you know this scripture. I quote it all the time. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing the word, and hearing comes by the command of God. He's got to give us ears to hear the word. I want you to hear or listen to what I'm saying, but I want you to hear God's word. You listen to what I say, but listen for a word from him. Now, back to the text. Preach the word. He went preaching the word of the Lord. Concerning the kingdom of God, he preached Christ unto them. Now, here we have an example of what it means and what it is to preach the word. Philip went down, verse 5, to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So when we say he preached the word, or they went preaching the word, they preached Christ unto them. They preached the thing concerning the kingdom of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They declared who he is and what he had done. Now, this city of Samaria that's mentioned here, Samaria is a place that lies to the north of Jerusalem. And the Jews hated those people of Samaria who were half-bred Jews, inbred with the people from Assyria. It goes all the way back to that old northern part of that kingdom being carried away into captivity. All the way that history, that enmity goes way back. The Jews hated those Syrians who came and intermarried and mingled with the Jewish people who worshiped pagans. And the Jews wouldn't have anything to do with those people of Samaria. The Lord Jesus Christ, remember, he said, I must needs go down through Samaria. Why? There's a woman at the well. There's a woman at the well that's one of my elect, that's one of my sheep, and she must hear the word, and she did, and God granted her faith, and God gave her that living water, made her a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip, like Stephen, was a preacher of the gospel. He went to this city of Samaria, and a great revival broke out around the word of God. Philip, full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, full of the gospel, full of wisdom to preach the gospel. What did he preach unto them? He preached Christ unto them. You see that verse 5? He preached Christ unto them, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, a lot of people, they always mention Jesus, the Christ, the Lord. People use the same word. Religious people use the same word that we use, but their definition of what those words mean is totally different and totally contrary to the Word of God. I know people who use the name Jesus Christ who have no idea who he is. And yet they use his name. Now, I know that for a fact. I grew up in a church called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the Jesus they had wasn't the Jesus revealed in the Word of God. So when we preach Christ and him crucified, we declare his glorious person without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. We preach his redeeming work, his successful redeeming work. That radio message this morning, I trust some of you heard that. If you didn't, listen to it on sermon audio when I put it up in the morning. I don't think a clearer, plainer message can be preached from Matthew 1:21 than what was preached this morning on the radio. Call his name Jesus, he shall save his people from their sin. Did he get it done? Absolutely. If the Jesus you believe tried to and failed, it's not the Christ of God. You've got a false one. They preach Christ, his glorious person, as God Almighty manifest in the flesh. They preached his redeeming work, his priestly work, as the only sacrifice for sin, how he obtained eternal redemption for us with his own blood. Philip preached who he is. Our Lord said, I and my Father are one. They preached that. Philip preached why he came. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Philip preached what he accomplished. Put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Philip preached where he is now. All the way through their preaching, they preached the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he by himself purged our sins, he sat down the right hand of the throne of God because his work was done, accomplished, finished. They preached the gospel. Paul later writes this, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel. So, we can conclude Philip was a gospel preacher. He preached the word. He preached Christ, preaching the thing concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And look what happened. A revival broke out. And the people with one accord gave heed. They listened to him. With one accord they gave heed unto the thing which Philip spake, hearing, seeing what the gospel did for these people. The miracles which he did, we know they were done by the power of God. Unclean spirits came out. Many that were possessed with demon spirits were healed. Many who were lame and crippled were made whole. And it says, verse 8, and I love this, there was great joy in that city. A great revival broke out. This city had been given ears to hear the gospel, hearts to receive the gospel, eyes to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were of one accord, one mind, one purpose. The Lord had some of his elect in that city, and they were ordained to believe the gospel like those in Corinth when Paul, because of persecution, was getting ready to leave. The angel of the Lord or the Lord said to him, don't leave, for I have much people in that city. They witnessed miracles, and there was great joy in that city. Our Lord said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That is true every time the gospel is preached. God blesses his word. The Lord has not changed. He's still able to save sinners to the uttermost by the preaching of the gospel. He's still raising dead men to life through the preaching of the gospel. You hath he quickened who were dead. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. He's still making sinners new creatures in Christ through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a bunch of folks were glad. Usually when the gospel is preached in these cities, we're going to see in our studies through the book of Acts, two things usually happen. Riot and revival. Right here we see a great revival going on. And there was great joy in that city. There's an article on the bulletin. The back page I usually reserve for my faint writings, weak writings, about rejoicing in the Lord. Believers have a rainbow of reasons to find comfort and joy in the salvation of the Lord. For we are the true circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, that rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. There was great joy in that city.